Okay, welcome everyone to our conference call. This is Duncan Larson. I'm with the NFB Senior Division. Also work in the senior program at the Colorado Center for the Blind. And I want to introduce Peter Kucharabi from the Colorado Center for the Blind.
Jane Degenshine, New Jersey.
Hello. So, Peter?
Yes, hi.
Hi. So Peter will be doing a presentation along with his group about cane travel and orientation and mobility and some other issues that may come up. Do you want to just really quickly just have everybody say their name and where they're from, the state they're from? I've already introduced myself, Duncan from Colorado.
Okay, I'll go next. This is Peter, of course, from Colorado. I work in the senior department here at the Colorado Center for the Blind. And our group participants will introduce themselves. We'll start with Ron.
Ron Brewer, from Colorado.
John Batron, Colorado.
Gary Poindexter, Colorado.
Terry Yeager, Colorado.
Priscilla Jones, Colorado.
Robert Newman, Nebraska.
Kermit Kirchhoff, Kansas.
Pam Faber, Minnesota.
Jane Degenshine, New Jersey.
Sarah from Maryland.
Okay, I think that's everybody. Okay, so Peter, we'll have we'll go until about 10 till 3 our time, Mountain Time, and then I want a little time at the end to talk about some convention details and also about the senior retreat. So you can go ahead, Peter.
Okay. Sorry, I had to turn the phone toward myself. So we're just wanting to talk about cane travel, is that right?
Yeah, but people may have other issues as well to bring up. A lot of things came up during our friends and when we talked about issues related to friends and family that goes back to getting to a point where you feel comfortable using a cane. When do you start using a cane? And then issues about friends and family members being supportive of that decision.
Okay. Well, sure. And we also want other people to speak, right? It's not just me.
Yes. Yeah, because you have the whole group there.
All right.
Great.
Well, I think all of us in this group are familiar with canes and travel with canes to in varying degrees. Some beginners, some are cane traveling veterans, so to speak. And the cane is probably one of the most controversial blindness tools that we can introduce to somebody, and which is why it deserves a lot of conversation as well. People are ready and willing to jump on adaptive technology. Learning some basic Braille can be a preference, but it doesn't provoke controversy. And other low vision and blindness techniques seem to be acceptable, but the cane is the thing that people associate the most with vision loss or this whole being, quote, blind, unquote, kind of person. So, but it's also, in our circles here, it's been known as the independence tool. A person grabs a cane and starts traveling when they are ready to embrace a new level of independence, a new level of mobility, and access and that kind of thing. So it really sits at the heart of safety as well. When we talk about safe traveling and getting from point A to point B, we always make sure that we talk about the fact that it is a safety tool. It does keep us safe. It does, A, identify us as a blind person, and B, it allows us to navigate our environment and the obstructions that we might come across as well. And that may be everything from catching a pole in front of us to identifying for those who have some remaining vision, which tend to be the group that makes the cane the most controversial piece, is sometimes it can be really helpful to know whether or not what you're seeing is a shadow or a step. And I know that a lot of people with low vision have experienced that when you have some vision, you may be seeing something and not able to identify what it is. Is it a shadow on the ground, or is it something you ought to be cautious about? And especially for those of us who have parts of our vision missing in our field of vision, things tend to disappear, right? Hear that a lot. Things disappear on a page, like a number or something, while you're doing your banking. And the same is true as you're navigating your environment. I love the fact that Estelle once in our group brought up the saying that it's not about what you do see, it's about what you don't see that makes the big difference, you know, and is oftentimes the reason to pick up a cane and start walking around with it and learning how to use it. And it's important to do that not when you've lost all of your vision and to wait until that point, but if you're actively losing your vision or have lost some vision, it's important to pick it up then to be safe and to be an effective traveler. And I think this is a good point for me to open up the space for maybe some of our group participants to talk about their cane travel, maybe their experiences, why they decided to start using a cane, where it... what it changed for them, perhaps, and maybe why they've chosen not to go back to walking around without a cane. Does that sound okay? Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Right.
Sounds perfect.
So let's let some people chime in.
This is Ron and Brewer, and I started using a cane when I couldn't see stuff, like, and I would walk. But like the car, I couldn't see the car, but when I had the cane, I could feel the car to get to the car. But before, I couldn't see it and didn't know where the door was. But now when I got the cane, I can do that. And I used to bump into stuff and didn't know where it was. But now while I got my cane, I can touch it and know where it's at. So, and it helps me find the sidewalks. And when I walk down the street, I know where the grass is in the sidewalk. And it leads me down to where I'm going, or the rocks or whatever. So, you know, that's why I use the cane. It's like my second pair of eyes, I can say, you know. So that's why I use it.
And, Ron, you haven't been blind very long.
No, ma'am. I've just been blind since last May.
So that's pretty darn good.
Yes, just looked since last May. Yes, ma'am.
Anyone else?
This is Priscilla from Denver. I started using a cane in 1998. And I started using it because I had fallen a few times, not knowing where the sidewalk or curb ended and the street began. I just tripped over it. And the only thing with cane travel for me, the cane, yes, protects me from the waist down, but you'd be surprised how many branches of trees I've walked into. And, you know,
good point.
And that's with me with the cane, I'm always leery of what's I'm gonna walk into from my waist up. Because it has happened numerous times. Thank goodness they don't have the pole telephones that they used to have, pay phones like they used to have, because I've walked into those 2 years ago. But for, as far as my cane travel, I feel very comfortable doing it, and I still think that I still need more cane travel. And because it doesn't hurt. Things change so quickly. You know, they put up new buildings here, new lights here, and signs that, you know, it's always constantly changing. So that's why I say continued cane travel is necessary.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Anyone else?
Anybody else?
John. Good to hear you on here, Diane. I got done work in 1980, and I was introduced to the cane, even though I didn't think I needed it much. Blind Brother actually gave me my folding cane. It was one of those agency canes. It was very short. I didn't use it very much. I moved to the country in about 1990, and the country living was a lot different than city living, because I actually came from Maine, and I actually called my colleagues and told them that I would like to take mobility training, and the first thing they said, why? And I said, well, basically, I want to go up to the a mile up the road to get a hot dog, and the only way I could get there was some in the road, and then a half a mile up was a sidewalk, so I needed to find that area. I decided I would get some of the use out of what I needed for travel, and I still didn't use it that much. Then 2005, when I came to Colorado, met the Federation in 2000 when I went to my first convention in Atlanta. And I use my cane steadily then because I see a lot of people using the cane, especially kids. And I said that if the kids can use a cane, I can. And so I used it pretty much competently every day. But when I came to Colorado and was introduced to the senior program out here, I decided I wanted to use my cane all the time, so that's what I did. And because I participated in some of the programs here at the Senior Center, I decided I wanted more and more and more. So what I did was decided what I was getting from the senior program, I wanted more. So I actually... if I could become a student down here, and that's what I did. And I got a lot more training, everything I needed, computer, everything, more mobility. And I decided I needed more and more and more, so I joined the ITP program here, and I've never regretted it since. I've got so much more out of not just participating in the seniors, but also in the ITP program, and the more I did with the seniors, the more I did here at the Colorado Center, is it gave me more and more confidence. My mobility was a plus for me because I would never cross a street before, and I now know that I can do anything I want to do with the cane, as long as I pay attention to what I've been taught and everything. And in 2011, I became I graduated from the center, and I haven't regretted any bit of it since. And I just recommend that if you're going blind and stuff like that, and you don't think mobility is that big a deal, then I will tell you right off the bat that you're wrong. You need the mobility. The more you do, the more you learn, the better you are. Thank you.
John?
Thanks, John.
If I might, this is Diane. If I might, let me throw this into the mix for people to talk about and think about. We're very fortunate here because we do have a couple of very active senior programs if you can't come to a full-time program. However, I would say 90% of the states do not have what we do. So, okay, let's take our training programs out of this mix. And let's say this. You live in Ohio, and you're a senior, and your sight is getting worse and worse and worse. And you go to rehab, and you say, I need some cane travel training. I don't feel like I'm safe. How are you going to get that travel training? Funding has been cut by the government. It's not just a state idea. The feds cut senior service money down tremendously. So how are we going to get that training accomplished? How can you get that? And there are ways. This isn't a question without an answer. This is for some of you to think about now. What would you do? Okay.
That may be a reason why some people are on the call.
Oh, exactly, is to find out what would you do.
We have people on the call from Kansas and Minnesota, Maryland, New Jersey.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
So what do you folks do?
Nebraska, of course, has a good program.
What do you folks do in other states?
Ron Brewer said, come to Colorado.
Well, everybody...
Yeah, and we do have programs that are
we
available.
We do, but you know, you can't pick up and move. And you, let's just be real practical here. So here, let me throw this out. This isn't what I'm going to say. I don't want to offend anybody, and I don't want people to say, "Oh, I can't do that." This is just a thought. If there is no formalized training that you can get, you can always get involved in the National Federation of the Blind, and you will find people who never went to college to get a degree, and yet they are traveling effectively and safely using a white cane. Talk to that person. Get tips. Get tips on how do you manage these things. Now, the cane travel teachers on this call are saying, you are crazy. But if you don't have anything else, I learned more from the NFB than I never had any formal training for years and years and years. And I used a guide dog, and I saw people using canes, and they were doing better than I was in a lot of situations. So I said to people, how do you do that? What do you do? So if you don't have formal training, you can do that because you all know people who are using canes, and they're safe and they're independent. I want to hear from Peter and Duncan. Is Wayne on the call today?
No, not today.
Not today. Okay, so we got... two excellent travel teachers on here. Is that a crazy idea? This comes from a non-informed person. Is that a crazy idea? What do you think?
You know, this is Duncan. I don't think that's crazy at all. I think that in many situations, there isn't an available travel instructor. And I am very opposed to people sitting and waiting until an appropriate travel instructor can come to their home before they'll start using a cane. I think I have seen this happen many times, and people are waiting for months, years. It's just really very, very unfortunate that this happens to so many people. But it doesn't have to. people can get information. If any of you are at National Convention, we'll be talking about that later, you can get a lot of instruction at National Convention on how to use a cane. Or probably at state conventions that you have in your state. So what do you
and that's right. This is what I wanted to point as well, is that even though you cannot position, you may not be able to position yourself to get formal training, a rehab facility or somewhere else, there are other opportunities that come along. A lot of times those opportunities have financial aid that comes with it if you can't afford it. But for a lot of people, the financial component is a challenge. But if you join in with the NFB in your state, a lot of times there is support to help you get to a state convention. In other cases, there's support to get you to a national convention. And then there are programs like ours where we have seniors in charge twice a year. And then you also have the training that's happening out in South Carolina, opportunities like that. But I'll agree with Diane, with Duncan, that Diane's comment wasn't crazy. But I do want for people to understand that everybody travels equally. So as you get tips and pointers from maybe a blind person that you've met that is a good cane traveler, consider the possibility of at least having conversations with more blind people about how they travel, exchanging information.
Exactly, exactly.
Sharing what you've learned and seeing if other people agree with it. Really finding what language describes a particular kind of technique and communicate that, and then receive communication from others. It is so important if you're in that situation to have a community either locally or virtually, you know, like on calls like this one. Staying connected and asking questions, all of that is extremely important if you don't have the formal instruction available.
You'll learn something from every person you talk to that you know. And all of you live in states, the states I've heard named, I know people in every one of those states who are very good cane travel, cane users. And they will help you. They will answer your questions.
That's a good point. The other thing you can get from that is just support and encouragement in using a cane. I know that it can be so difficult to be the only person maybe in your little town who's using a white cane. Or maybe you're the first person, you've never met anybody who's used a white cane before. So connecting with others who do will give you the, I think really, the courage and inspiration to go ahead and
Judy Jones.
Pick up a cane and use it.
And I want to bring it back to another point as well, that I hear this comment a lot. I was working with a lady out in a beautiful town here in Colorado called Golden, and she has a really nice track or path next to her house in the mountains there. And she's losing her vision, and she wanted some cane travel. And he, like many others, said to me, well, there's so much that I see while I'm walking, so I feel like I'm cheating. And that, again, I want to reemphasize that statement of it not being about what you can see, but what you can't see. It's so important, any stage in your blindness, to recognize the importance of using that cane for the things that you not see. And it can be a challenge to transition at first because you're so used to leaning on sight, whether it's a lot of sight or a little sight. And even for those who have lost all of their vision, it is difficult to shift the way that you navigate your environment. But it is so important to create what we call, or what we like to call, muscle memory. The more you use that cane, the more it becomes a part of your body. And I hate to make the example that it's like a pail, but for me it kind of is. I feel like I'm missing a part of myself when I don't have my cane and I'm trying to get from one point to another, because cane has established that memory with my hand, and it's giving me so much information on the ground that's important, you know, whether it's a rock or a curb, obstacle, right, all of that. And it really keeps us from what I used to always say to my students, zombie, doing the zombie hands, right?
Yeah.
Down with your hands kind of way out in front or swinging
right.
out. And boy, does that get uncomfortable for the people around you when you do that. And beyond that, you can hurt yourself. You can hurt your hands, or you can knock over things or paintings. I'm sure that people could share plenty of stories about how they ruin something very expensive by trying to swing their arms around instead
mm-hmm.
of using.
Plus, it can lead to some really embarrassing situations.
Well, if you're thinking about going to convention, here's something that I do that may, again, I always figure things I think up sometimes are kind of basic and kind of maybe silly, but they work. When I go into a new hotel room, I don't care if it's convention, I don't care if I'm on another trip and staying in a hotel, I use my cane in that room until I know where things are. Because every room, well, some people say all Holiday Inns are set up identical. I don't know whether they are or not. I never paid any attention. But I'm going to use my cane until I know where things are. And once I'm comfortable, I may not use it, but I use it a good deal when I'm not out on the street. It's just as Peter says, it's just part of my right hand, particularly in situations like I just explained. You know, somebody said, that embarrasses me to walk with my cane out in front of me. That embarrasses me. And I heard somebody say, only if you let it. There's nothing to be embarrassed about. That is your independence tool. And if you let those things, that sort of thing, embarrass you, then, you know, but you have the control over that. So it is truly a tool of independence and a tool of pride. You're not sitting around waiting for somebody to take you somewhere. And I just think convention is such a wonderful learning platform because everybody there, we're all alike. We're all blind people, and we're all paying it forward, as they say. We're helping other people. Then you'll get to a point where you'll be helping people, and you think you don't know anything, but you know probably way more than you think you do. So I just think convention's a great place. And Duncan is so right. There are seminars at convention. There are all kinds of things.
Does anybody have a question about why we use the kind of canes that we do? In the NSB, and why we use the length of cane that we do? Maybe you all know. I guess there aren't any questions about that.
Has anybody seen these canes? I'm sorry, who?
Go ahead, Diane. There's a little echo going on, I think. But
yeah, there is. Maybe that's because we're recording. I don't know. But I see people, well, we had a gentleman in Seniors in Charge, and he used his cane had a ball on the end of it. Now, I don't know. That's what he was given. But we don't use that. We use the NFB canes. And apparently all of you know why we use that. But have any of you ever tried to use one of those canes? And if so, what did you think about it? Maybe you haven't even seen them.
There's the Stanzel.
The number one thing, this is Robert Newman, the number one experience that I had with one of those ball at the end of your cane, I just tried one out just to see what it was like. It's great for finding cracks, but that's not a real big deal. But the thing I really missed was, you know, my NFB cane with a metal tip, that sound that it makes, that can go out 30, 40, 50, 100 feet and come back and tell me that there's an obstacle, you know, just off my right shoulder, like a tree, or there's a building across the street. So I just like a heck of a lot more information than just what the length of my cane can give me.
Yeah, cane travel is much more than just what's at the end of your cane. It certainly is putting together all the information from your environment and then putting it all together to create a concept of travel for yourself, including what we teach at our center is using cardinal directions, using information about the way that the city is laid out, understanding how the address system works in wherever you live. There's many, many things. Listening for traffic that's far away.
Yes, this is Robert again. There's just one other really super important time that I'll use my cane, and that's when I'm going sight a guide, because I've learned over the years you can't trust anybody to watch out for you.
That's right.
So you use that cane no matter what.
Good point.
Somebody's been trying to get the floor, I think.
Or Susie Stanzel just got in. I was
well,
late
loudly,
today.
Susie. You're pretty quiet. Did you have a comment?
Very late today.
Did you have a comment, or were you just announcing that you were on the call?
I was asked. They said to announce myself when I came in.
Oh, okay.
I heard that Robert's answer, and was he talking about a rolling ball, a ball on the end of his cane?
This is Robert. So that was a general question. I just said that I once tried one, and I didn't find that it really helped me a whole lot. It didn't really make enough noise to tell you more of what is around you other than just what you could reach with the cane. So, yeah.
Have any of you used
people
these
told
things
me that,
that
I should try that?
No.
Judy Jones.
Yes, Judy. Good to hear from you.
I know. I almost didn't get in, but I got in on my cell phone, not our landline. But are you talking about the rolling ball tip, the red ball?
Yeah, what people.
So I have used it. It's kind of awkward because it sticks out, and so it makes your cane take up a little more room than it normally would. You know, it's not bad, but it's but the thing about it that I love is if you live in rural areas or you want to do anything rural, that ball can just go get you through, like, fields and ditches and all
really?
Kinds of stuff like that. Oh, yeah,
really?
It rolls, and it doesn't stick. You're not having to pick up your cane tip nearly as much as you would.
Okay.
You know, with the other tips. So
okay.
I'm thinking like in rural settings, like dirt roads or anything like that, it would be awesome.
That's
I mean, that's
really,
what I found.
Well, and that's what we want to know. Is what people's experiences have been, what you have found. There's no one way to do things. There's a variety of ways if you want to try different ways. And I had never heard that.
And then the other thing that I've this was really quite interesting. But I've retired from the Commission for the Blind now as of April. Yay! But one of the things the Commission has that they were trying, you know, because a lot of Idaho is rural, is they got this thing that hooks on to the end of a cane. And it was developed, I believe, in New Zealand, and it's called the Buntu Basher or something. And it looks like a giant tined fork, like two tines, and the two tines stick up in the air. And what it's supposed to do is it's supposed, like, if you're in the bush, it's supposed to get bush out of your way if you're walking in the bush, you know.
Hmm.
And I thought, wow, that is interesting. That could be a tool. But it's called
Have
Buntu
you tried it?
Basher. Yeah, I did. We were trying it when I was at the commission, when I was up in Boise, we were playing around with it, and they had it with the tine ends going down to the ground. And I was like, you know what? I don't think they're supposed to go down on the ground. I think they're supposed to go up because
right.
It's supposed to clear stuff. And it's got sort of an arc. You know, like I said, it's kind of like a giant fork. It's got two tongs. And they're probably a quarter of an inch in diameter. But, you know, once we had the tines going up, it was a lot easier to use. And you could see where it would just clear stuff, you know.
Yeah, if you were out in the jungle.
Yeah. So it was kind of funny. It's just another tool.
Well, exactly. Exactly.
What I was wondering about it for was these silly sidewalks around here that people don't keep up, and there's so many cracks between the sidewalks, you know, between the
ball would roll right over those.
I wouldn't find them.
Well, it would roll over the cracks. I mean, yeah, you can feel them, but it just doesn't get stuck in them.
My toe gets caught in them. That's what happens. My toe sometimes gets caught in a crack, and then forward I go. Mm-hmm. But
I was just thinking about the cane. The cane would show you where it was, but it wouldn't get stuck in it.
It wouldn't get stuck in it, but it would show me where it is.
Yeah, you know, like when you're walking with a cane and you feel that little click click. You know, like when you're getting it going, when your tip's going over a crack. Like if you use the sweeping motion with your cane.
But if I miss the crack. Sometimes my foot finds the crack.
Susie, I think if you know that you're in an area where there are lots of cracks, that you will want to use your cane and keep it in an arc but constantly on the ground. So you're not lifting it up in an arc.
Okay.
Because that
a
will...
constant
sweeping motion.
Contact, yeah.
Right.
So you can try that to find things that grab your feet.
Okay.
Hey,
personally,
ladies,
I learned that, like, when I learned my cane skills, I actually, like, back in the eons, I learned the sweeping motion, and I found that, like, over the years, that really detects a lot more than just the tap, 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 tap
mm-hmm.
motion.
That's what I'm thinking about my balance. I've just had my right hip replaced, and my balance is pretty poor at the moment, and I don't want to go to the ground.
Yeah. It'll get better, though. That will get better.
I think
well, another
trying to say something.
I think this is Peter. I just want to say that I'm always very careful, and Diane knows this about me, and Duncan knows this about me. I'm always very careful, especially working with seniors who have had a hip replacement, a knee replacement,
mm-hmm.
or better yet, haven't had anything replaced, starting to feel like they might need to. When you're out and using your cane and your balance is struggling in any way due to some other physical condition, it is so important to consider the possibility of using another aid or another, like a support to protect yourself from a fall. Whether you're using a tapping motion, you know,
is that your guide dog, Peter?
That is never my guide dog.
I know.
Even when I ask her to. So Even if you are using a what we call the constant contact sweep, where you're keeping your cane tip on the ground and moving it from left to right and right to left, even so, sometimes things can happen, and your cane can sweep over a crack or anything like that. And if you're not lifting your feet up, and in some cases you can't really lift your feet up too much, it is so important to have all the proper tools necessary to travel safely. So if you know yourself and you know that your balance is struggling, even if it's for a short while you're healing or whatever the situation may be, it may really help your mobility to use a support cane in addition to a long white cane.
So let me speak as a person who had to be talked into that.
I refuse.
Well, I don't refuse, and I love my support cane, and it took me a while to get there, but it has kept me from falls. I have a bad knee. I have done some things about it, but I have not gone to a replacement, but I do have definite difficult balance issues, and Duncan talked to me, and Peter talked to me, who are both working with me on cane travel, and I cannot tell you how much help it is. You got to get the right length support cane. And I need some tips. I probably could use some more, although I'm doing much better. It's like anything. You got to use it to get better. You can't bring it home and say, oh, yeah, I got to use this. You've got, even if you use it around your house just to feel comfortable with it in your hand, luckily we have a store here called You Can Too Can, but I'm sure that orthopedic places would have support canes. It's got to be the right length, but I do think it's a tremendous help. But that's just me. That doesn't mean other people would find it so, but I have found it so.
Yeah. And it's important to remember that it's not a replacement.
No,
it's an addition to.
Right.
My problem was I was trying to use it kind of along with my white cane, but no, it's just strictly for balance.
So, Robert, here, I have something to pass on about tripping, you know, tripping when your toe hits a crack or whatever. So this is what I've learned, and think about this, is when I slide my feet in some fashion, my toe is going to hit whatever is in front of me. So what I usually do is not in an exaggerated way, but you pick up your feet, your heel comes down first, and then if there's anything that your toe might hit, it'll be the flat of your foot that comes down on the crack or whatever. So you just heel down, and then the flat of your foot comes on whatever.
I never thought of that.
I know that
in
all
fact,
the stuff you have to do. My children
fact,
tell me
where,
I walk flat-footed.
Yeah.
The only time that wouldn't be good, and this is Judy, is like if you are going to be having icy weather or, you know, anything like that. If you suspect at all, you know, that you don't want to do the heel first.
Probably not.
I know, it gets really
probably
bad.
Probably not, yeah.
You do the penguin walk.
Yeah. We have 15 minutes left, according to my clock. What does everybody else have? I know
it's about 15 minutes.
Duncan's got some stuff to go over for the group.
Andrea Schwartz from New Jersey, is it possible for you to go over the retreat that you mentioned and also whatever is going on in South Carolina?
Well, let's talk about the retreat right now. So this would be a way for people to get some training. It is called the Live the Life You Want Senior Retreat. It's sponsored by the NFC Senior Division. And
by the which?
The National Federation of the Blind Senior Division.
Right.
The same group that we're sponsoring these phone calls. The dates are October 8th through the 14th. And it's going to be at the Rocky Bottom Retreat, which is a conference center in South Carolina. And it's my understanding it's in the mountains. The cost is $325, and that includes your room, board, training, and any training activities. That does not include the transportation to get to Greensville, South Carolina, which is the closest airport.
Okay.
This is for people who are 55 years of old or more, with a strong desire to learn alternative or non-visual techniques in cane travel, daily living and cooking skills, and technology. So we are accepting applications up until August 1st. That's the deadline for applications.
Winona Quast.
And there is more information I can give you. I don't have it right in front of me. If people really want, by the end of the call, I can get information about where you send, who you contact for the application. I also want to talk about the convention, which is coming up even earlier than that. It will be, our national convention will be July 10th through the 15th at the Rosen Shingle Creek Resort Hotel in Orlando. You can pre-register for the convention by May 31st. Registration, if you pre-register, is $25, and the banquet ticket is $60. If you register there, it's a little more expensive. The registration goes up to $30, and the banquet ticket is $65. So you save $10 by pre-registering, and you also save some headache of just not having to stand in a long line to register, because you're already registered. It's a great way to meet lots and lots of blind people who are independent and would have lots of information about not only how to do cane travel, but techniques that they use for all different types of areas of their lives. I'll go over the hotel rates are really wonderful. That's $83 for singles and doubles. And for people who want three or more in their room, it's $89. And you can contact the hotel. Now, that, again, the deadline is May 31st for getting your hotel reservation in. Does anybody need that phone number for the hotel? Okay. And I will tell you, getting back to registering for the convention, you can pre-register by going onto the NSB website. There's a way to do that, and there, you can also download a PDF document and mail it in. So,
do you know the link, Duncan?
Isn't it just nfb.org?
It's nfb.org. Yeah,
that's
okay.
Where you go.
Regular link.
Yeah, your regular access,
okay.
And then you go through, and I'm sure there's something that says registration.
There is a national convention page.
Okay.
On it, yeah. And so then during that week, we have two events specific to seniors. On Monday, July 10th, we have our senior seminar. And on Wednesday, July 12th, we have our senior meeting for our senior division. And I know that one of the topics will be coordinated by Diane, who's on the call. It's going to be, what is it called, Diane? A Day in the Life of a Blind.
Oh, yeah, we keep changing it, but something like, it's going to be something fun, but it's going to be very informative, too. But something like A Day in the Life of a brand new blind person. You know, how do you find a cereal? I mean, they're very basic tips.
Yeah. How do you
and
get
then,
your
of course,
mail read?
Right, right. How do you
how
do
you
this?
How do you pay your bills?
Yeah, it's a basic, because we get a lot of people in those seminars who are, you know, they haven't been blind very long, and they think, gosh, how am I going to do that? Judy Sanders and I are supposed to put that together, and Judy and I have a lot of fun, so it'll be fun, and we'll have other people participating, so it'll be fun. That's
yeah.
Monday, and then Wednesday is our business meeting, and Duncan, you want to talk about our sale for to help fund the South Carolina retreat?
I know that we will be selling turquoise jewelry, and if you want to talk more about it, Diane, you were on that
call.
Well,
you've said the important parts. We
okay.
will. That's going to be a main fundraiser for the senior division, and we will, of course, have tables in the exhibit hall, and we hope to raise enough money to help cover expenses.
As you can imagine, it costs a lot more than the...
Yes.
What was it, the $325
right,
per person
right.
to do
so
this.
We're trying to cover that with this fundraiser. So, and then, of course, we'll have our not-so-silent auction, which
right.
I always think is fun. So it will be a good business meeting and a good seminar on Monday. We'll have other things. We're just giving you some of the high spots. I think hopefully, we're going to have somebody there from I Can Connect, which is a big help for people who have some hearing loss. That's a lot of us as we grow older. And I'm not sure where, but it's going to be great. I think we're going to have. You have to have a little bit of technology. People don't think they've been anywhere to a meeting unless you get to talk about technology. That seems to be a... As Peter says, that's what everybody wants to know.
That's right.
That's the world we live in.
And also, regarding this retreat, Live the Life You Want, I think we're trying to not have a huge group of people. So I would recommend that if people really want to attend, they get their applications in soon, and because I don't remember the exact number, but I believe it was under 20 for December.
Yeah, I think that's right, Duncan. I think we said we would not take more than 18.
Yeah.
So I think we'll have a lot of people from all around the country that will be applying.
That's
Duncan,
right.
This is
yes.
Susie Stansel.
Hi,
I have a newly blinded person in my chapter that has not traveled alone at all, and I know that he couldn't take his spouse with him. How would he he can get to the airport here because his wife will take him. What assistance will there be for someone that just doesn't have any skills yet? Hardly.
Well, they would be providing people in South Carolina would be providing transportation from that Greenville, South Carolina airport to this retreat.
Okay.
So there would be somebody to meet him.
Okay.
And then it would
be
a
sure.
good way for him to learn cane travel.
Yes.
And get some confidence with it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Is there a way of finding out what the program actually is that's going to be?
The agenda for
yeah.
for what, the retreat or the convention?
Yeah.
The retreat.
The retreat.
Well, as best as we can, I think Duncan
did outline that. It's what we call the core curriculum. There'll be some beginning Braille. There'll be some, I can't tell you what time, you know, I don't have that. There's not that.
I wasn't looking for time.
There's been beginning Braille, technology, independent travel, I don't know what we're going to call it, home management skills. I don't know what we're going to call that piece, but living in your home. The technology will be advanced technology and beginning technology. You know, it's not going to be, you know, we're up in the mountains. So you're not, I don't think we have internet access, but there'll be, there's a lot of other technology. But those are the four subjects, and then there'll be a lot of fun activities too.
And I'm sure there will be a lot of conversation about blindness and, you know, lots of issues related to blindness.
Okay, is there a phone number or an address?
Yeah, I'm looking that up right now.
Okay.
To get an application? Are you asking for an application? Is that what you mean?
Yes,
she wants an application.
Let me go get Ruth Sager's phone number. She's traveling, so she's not able
You know, I have it this is Judy Jones, and I have it written down, and I'm going to go look it up right now because I got it off the presidential release.
Okay, yes, all of this information is also on the presidential release, so.
It is. And I
can look it up,
here,
too.
I can give it to you.
Okay.
So there's actually not a phone number. To apply, you contact a man named David. Do you have something to write this down?
Yeah, I'm writing.
David, it's H-O-U-C-K.
Right.
Houck. And
his
address is 119 South Kilbourne, K-I-L-L-B-O-U-R-N-E Road, South. And it's, now I don't have
South Carolina.
Well, it's got to be a city. Or is Kilbourne Road the town? I thought that was
funny. It's Columbia, South Carolina.
Oh, Columbia, South Carolina.
And that zip code is 29025.
Thank you.
And like I say, I know, or I haven't heard the newest release, but I understand it is on the presidential release.
It is.
Now, you know what? I had 29205. Is that incorrect?
It may not be. I may have it incorrectly. Let me double check on the NFC. Let's see if it's on the NFC website.
I can just look it up. Thank you.
Okay. Great. So,
well, it's a great way for people to get some training. So,
yeah, it's a good way to start with training. Is there anything else? We have a couple minutes.
This is Judy Jones, and I hope this is okay to do. I'm in Twin Falls, Idaho, and a lady here in Twin Falls, Idaho has also joined us, and she's brand new. She's come to our NFB meetings, and her name is Winona.
I'm Winona.
Oh,
yeah, and she's on the call, and the reason I'm wanting to introduce her is because she is going to be moving from Twin Falls to Colorado.
Oh, yay.
And so Colorado is sponsoring. So Diane's from Colorado. And who's all from Colorado on this call?
Oh, a whole lot of us.
Yeah. Duncan.
Duncan. Peter.
John.
And a whole group of support group that Peter leads on Thursday afternoons.
So where in Colorado? Winona, where are you moving? What city?
Grand Junction.
Okay, we got a nice chapter in Grand Junction. So I think, Judy, any of us, we can get your information and give yours, and we'll put you in touch with Nate Hecker. He's our president in Grand Junction. Very fine guy. So
his name is Nate?
N-A-T-E. N-A-T-E, last name is H-E-C-K-E-R. I don't have available in my brain his contact information, but Winona,
that's okay.
we can get that job. I hope you're coming to National Convention.
Well, I'm in the process of going to be moving about that time. I don't think this year.
Oh, darn.
I know.
Well, Judy can, we can have somebody from Idaho get hold of us and so we can contact you or give
okay.
you our contact.
Sure, we'll make sure and network it.
Good.
That's right.
Okay.
That will be great. Well, thank you, everyone, for attending this conference, and I thought it was very informative, and please feel free to reach out to anyone in the NFB or to us at the Colorado Center for the Blind if you have further questions or
you know
more
when our next one is, Ruth? I mean, Duncan?
I do not know when the next one is.
Okay.
Robert, do you know?
I bet Robert knows.
He may not still be on the call. We've been
okay.
doing them every month.
And it's been the, what Thursday is this today? This is the third Thursday.
Yeah. So, it's possible that there will be one in June.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
I would love to know when that is so that we can get more people in Idaho on this call. I think that'd be great.
Well, we'll see if we can find that out and then
email out. Robert, I guess Robert's gone. He has a lot to do with the our website, our senior page. And I'm sure it's listed on there.
Mm-hmm.
So
hello. This is Roseanne Faber.
Hey, Roseanne, how's Minnesota?
Kind of chilly right now.
Well, it's snowing in Denver, so.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys.
It is.
I wanted to say that I looked on the listserv this morning to find the time and stuff for today. Scheduled, and it's for Thursday, June 15th.
Oh, thank you, Roseanne. That's great. That is the third Thursday.
Was there a topic listed?
I don't remember what that was.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Thank you so much for checking that out.
That's great, Roseanne. But it's this call-in number that you use today.
Right.
Yes.
That's great.
Okay.
Times are the same.
Well, thank you, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and stop the recording now. And, of course, I can remind you that you can go back and listen to conference calls that we've had in the past as well. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
Good week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.